Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The following program will contain sex themes and coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm not a slut. I just love love.
Joy 94.9, you are with Sammy in the wet spot. That's right, ladies, it is Moist Mondays. It's time to strap yourselves in, strap one on and get ready for another great show. I am exceptionally excited tonight because I've got one of my favourite women in the studio with me. Master Bella from Piercing HQ is here and we're going to let's get pierced.
Yeah!
We're going to be having so much fun. We're doing all things about girl piercings tonight, aren't we?
We are.
I know. It's
all the fun below the belt.
Well, that's right.
Well, and in your case, above the belt.
Well, yeah, because we're going to start off tonight and we're going to be talking about, because Master Bella pierced me on at the Vicler, the meet and greet at the Laird on a Saturday. So we're going to have a little bit of a chat about that tonight. And of course, ladies, at any stage, get in contact with us. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us an SMS on 0427 joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au. As usual, there's no one out there on the front desk, so as we like to say it, ladies, let your fingers do the walking and your messages come straight through to us in the studio. So I want to first, how long have you been piercing for, Bella?
Oh, see, I don't want to say that because if I say that, then people go, well, how old are you?
Okay, well, let's not give away any ages. So you are, what, pretty much when I was looking around to get my nipple pierced, I knew that if it was something that I've wanted to get done for a while, spoke to quite a few of the girls out in the scene and quite a lot of my friends, and they basically said to me, there's only one woman you want to get your hands on your boobs, and pretty much that was you.
Oh, I'm so lucky.
I know.
Thank you, everybody.
Because it is one of those things that, you know, for me and for women, you know, and men, then your nipples carry a lot of sensation. And piercing is one of those things that if you're going to get anything done, it has to be done by somebody that is absolutely experienced. And especially when we go on to talk about all the different types of genital piercing and the damage that can be done. Mm. So, you know, having a nipple pierced, while it is as exciting as having other things pierced, the repercussions are still there if it's not done properly, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's a serious piercing. You know, nipple piercing, it goes through quite a lot of tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anything's done incorrectly, then it can be really painful from a healing point of view and really long from a healing point of view. So
of course, I got done on Saturday. You did me. With an audience, cheering audience.
I love public stuff, so.
I know, you seemed really, really shy about doing it.
We got a great round of applause, didn't we, when we'd finished?
I know, right?
It was great.
It was absolutely fabulous to have so many people down there supporting Vic Leather for such an amazing day. And also, too, for Piercing HQ to be such a great sponsor and supporter of Vic Leather and just be able to provide these, to provide the STEM demonstrations on the day. So there was one girl and one boy being done.
There was, because we don't discriminate over at Piercing HQ. So
no, that's right. And, yeah, and it is great to be able to see two completely different styles of piercings actually being done.
Yeah.
So, of course, there was a lot of preparation that went into the fact because, of course, you don't actually just go, okay, all right, yep, your nipple looks okay, we're going to just put a needle in. There was a lot of things that have to be done in preparation for that too,
yeah,
isn't there?
So, that's right.
So walk us through sort of how it all started.
Well, last Thursday when you came into the studio, I scored a look and we took some measuring and discussed discussed the thickness of your jewellery. And then that then allowed us to go ahead and pre-sterilise everything that we needed to sterilise before doing the deed on Saturday.
So, of course, when we actually talk about nipple piercing, there's two major types of jewellery that's actually used, a ring and a bell, a bar.
So you need to learn how to say that because you're wearing it.
I'm wearing a bar. That's right.
A barbell, yes.
Now, of course, you choose the different styles of the thickness. Is that actually based on the anatomy of each breast of being different, or does it have a lot to do with on basically the expectations of the jewellery and the wearer?
Yeah, I think it's more about the expectations because if we're just purely getting our nipple piercing done because we love the look of it, then we don't have to worry as much about its wear and tear. You know, if we love our nipple being chewed on, for example, we want to make sure that that jewellery is a little bit stronger so that it doesn't, you know, cause problems later on because it's too thin. So
if you wanted to actually start off with a smaller gauge bar at the start and then work up to a larger, you know, as your body sort of got used to it, because is it easy to actually pierce with a smaller bar at the start and then stretch it upwards, or is it easy to just go, right, okay, we want it done at this particular size and do it at the start?
Look, within reason, the piercing difference is negligible between, say, 14 gauge, which is the minimum that we would do a piercing below the neck at. I tend to do all of my female nipple piercings now at 12 gauge, which is that little bit thicker, and the numbers go back the front just to confuse the universe. So, you know, 14 gauge is, what, 1.6 mil and 12 is 2.1. So it's, you know, a really small difference, and I think healing-wise it seems to work well. So
what size did you end up deciding to put in me?
2.1. So I've the got bigger the, one.
Oh, the bigger one. Oh, I like that.
The bigger one. Of course. I take care of people I care about.
Oh, of course you do, darling. Now, so, of course, if I decided a little bit later on that, you know, my jewellery and my nipple was going to get a lot more harder work, it's depending on part of what a fetish play, kink scene that I play in, is it then possible for me to say, okay, well, I'm ready for an upgrade, or I want a different style of jewellery in there later?
Absolutely. We like to leave it 3 months before we fiddle around too much more with that. But yeah, we can certainly put thicker wires in later on if you find that you're needing those, and or you like the look of the heavier jewellery. And, you know, we know enough lube and enough time and anything will fit anywhere.
It absolutely will, won't it? Just breathe. Just breathe. Now, of course, with so this was all done a couple of days previously. We got a chance to talk about the different uses that the jewellery was going to see in the first, you know, couple of months of actually being in my nipple. What my expectations were going to be. Now, is it usual for someone, because you're sort of, you know, reputation-wise, one of the more experienced piercers around town.
24 years, but don't tell anyone.
Oh, we got the numbers out. So for somebody who's actually unsure of, you know, in a different area, a different state or overseas, and they're unsure of their piercer, are they better off starting off with the bar, or are they better off starting off with a ring if you're actually unsure of, you know, even though you know some friends that have been pierced by somebody, what would you recommend is something that's actually an easier thing to get done?
Look, there are less problems that we see on nipples that have been pierced with bars. Because the biggest problem that we see are rings that are too small in diameter to support the healing process in the female nipple.
And is that because the ring moves around a little bit, so it allows for more movement, more tearing, more infection because of the way it can tend to get play with a bit more?
And knocked around too. Gets caught on bras and towels and all sorts of things a lot more. But I think part of it is that women don't like the size of the ring when they see the size of the ring that would have, like, diameter-wise, that would have to go into their nipple to facilitate the healing process. You know, once the lion's share of the healing is done, we can sometimes downsize the diameter of that jewellery. But to get it healed, and that's where the bars work well, because we're making a straight line from side to side on a nipple, you know, bars are straight. You know, there's no pressure at all.
So it's on. The only thing in me that's straight.
Oh, well, I think we can get away with that, can't we, Sammy?
Just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Now, we've had a message in from Dean Beck. He said, "Tits ahoy. Well done, Sammy, and great to hear the terrorist back on air. Give her my love."
Oh, no, Dean, I miss you. I thought you loved me.
Clearly not so much.
The terrorist? How did that happen?
I know. I think that if he actually cared enough, he would come in and say hello, or he would have been down saying hello to us at the Laird on the weekend.
Oh, we're old hat now, you know. He's off doing bigger and better things.
I'm sure he is. We're going to have a little bit of a listen to some messages, and then we're going to be right back in the wet spot with Sammy and Bella. We're going to get pissed. Stay tuned, ladies.
We're totally bent for your listening pleasure. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. You're in the wet spot with Sammy and Master Bella. Now, we've been going all things out. Well, we're above the waist at the moment. We normally like to be below the waist.
I thought that's where we were going, Sammy.
Below the waist?
Yeah.
We absolutely are. But I figure that considering we had so many wonderful people supporting out there to make sure that I did end up getting my nipple pierced on stage, and I wanted everyone to be able to understand that never got a chance to come down and see it, everything that we went through to get it done. So it's absolutely fabulous. And, of course, you know, I've spoken to a lot of my friends that have actually said to me, "Oh, now that you've got yours done, I wanted to wait and see what you thought of it so then before I go and get mine done." So, of course, we've gone through all of the pre-selection and everything we have to go through. So then on the day, what did you have to actually do to sort of to facilitate the piercing?
Make it happen. Well, the first and most important thing, which was interesting at the Laird, was getting that marking done, because the marking's going to determine where the piercing goes.
Yep.
And we were in a slightly different space of limited lighting and things, but I think we coped with that okay. Are you happy with where it's placed?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Good. And how's that sensation going for you, Sammy? Have you noticed any difference yet?
I really like it. Like, I was actually expecting for when you actually did the piercing, I, you know, was thought, oh, you know, I'm really going to feel it. But I think it was that first millisecond of the start of the needle going through. And then, yeah, everything else had just felt amazing.
Yeah.
It was just such an adrenaline rush and such an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
So it's actually over quite quickly, because
it is.
Once you actually mark it, so of course you marked it with me sitting upright, so you and to sort of see how my breasts fell and
how
the nipples sat.
Because gravity and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, we love gravity the older we get, don't we?
The position where, you know, when we're lying down, our nipples are a bit different.
Yes.
And, yeah, so we always do the marking with you normally standing up, but as you know, we did it with you on a bench, sitting up, and you had that great top on, so we didn't kind of have a free fall anyway, but
it was
worth it.
Yes, totally.
It was worth it. And then following that, we got you to lie down, and this part of the procedure would be exactly the same in the studio, which is to clean the area and then put a clamp on. And I think from my, you know, memory, you didn't seem to mind that part of it at all.
Oh, no, quite partial to that, actually. Just a little bit.
Seemed like it.
Yeah.
And then it was, take a deep breath, and we did the piercing and put the jewellery in. And
so basically what happens is you're actually putting the needle through, and then you're following that with inserting the bar.
Correct.
And then all that had to be done after that was actually screwing the balls on the end, wasn't it?
That's
now,
right.
There's a very specific different type between the screws that are actually the way that the balls are actually put in from a good piece of jewellery and a bad piece of jewellery, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called internal threading versus external threading.
Mm-hmm.
And like most things in the body piercing world, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, external threading, the threading's on the outside of the bar. And that there's a hole in a ball that screws over the thread on the outside of the bar. And that is not the quality of jewellery that we use. It's a very cheap quality of jewellery. The balls don't lock on anywhere near as well. But the thing that I get most concerned about is, you know, dragging a rough surface through the inside of my nipple.
Yes.
And I wouldn't use anything on you or any client that I wouldn't be prepared to use on myself. And I'm not dragging anything through the inside of my nipple piercing because, you know, it's over 20 years old and I don't want to wreck it now.
No, I would say no. Not. So ongoing care for me is basically just making sure, because, of course, you know, we got some very specific salt that you gave me. Mm-hmm. So just keeping... keeping that clean,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, keeping it clean. You know, common sense. You know, if it hurts, don't do it. It's too soon. That's the big one. And
that's going to be the hard thing for me because it's like, it's so pretty. I want to play with
it. I know. But you've got another one that you can play with in the meantime.
That's right. Well, I was talking about the jewellery, but yeah, okay. Oh. My boobs are okay too.
Well, that too.
But yeah, that's why I only got one done at a time because I only wanted one out of action at a time.
Sounds like a fair plan. Fair plan. Yes.
Now, of course, let's go down. Let's go below the waist.
Let's go downstairs.
Let's get the pants off.
Mm-hmm. What, now?
Okay.
Like,
yep,
on
right
the
now.
Desk?
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep. It's called the wet spot for a reason.
Okay.
So, of course, the first thing when we start to sort of think about genital piercings is, I suppose, the most common piercing that you would do would be a piercing in and around the clit.
Yeah, it's the clitoral hood.
Yep.
Is the most common piercing that we do. That can be done two different ways, one being horizontally, side to side, and vertically up and down. And which one is determined by two factors, one being how is it that you like your clit stimulated,
yep,
and what sort of anatomy you have, because of course none of us are the same.
No, it's really much, you know, every vagina is like a fingerprint.
It is.
They're so different. Your folds are so different, mm-hmm, and the amount of skin you have in your hood is so different too,
and
isn't
it? And what you've got and what you haven't.
Yes.
You know, some women have both sets of labia. Some women have very little labia.
Mm.
And I find it, one of the things I have found most interesting over the years is the amount of women who will come in and one of the first things that they say to me when they're setting up to get a genital piercing done is that they're not normal in some way, shape or form. And I will look at them and I will say something along the lines of, well, I'm really interested to see that because I have no idea what normal is. You know, I think I've seen, well, this is, I don't know whether this is going to be accurate or not, but hopefully more vaginas than a lot of women, you know, 20 plus years of vaginas and genital specialist piercing.
Yep.
You know, I'd say thousands. And what's normal?
No.
And all
that's right.
All it's taken is for one man or one woman to pass some sort of comment on her lady garden.
Yes.
As being, you know, different in some way, and that has stuck. You know, it's stuck with her as being there's either something wrong or something abnormal. I don't know what that is.
I mean, even for me, I've had that say to me, you know, by, you know, a woman that, you know, we're about to have sex and she'll be a little
great
bit,
timing.
Well, you know, they might be a little bit anxious about something and, you know, they're worried. I'm just like, to me, like, the reason I fuck women is vaginas are beautiful.
Mm.
You know, like,
and
really,
your neck.
I've never met an ugly one. Mm. I really haven't.
My.
Because everyone is so different and everyone has so many amazing different things to offer.
Well, you know, what a wonderful thing to explore.
I know, right?
Yeah. And the great thing is that in my world, there's never been a vagina that can't have something.
Yep.
You know, maybe they can't have an inner labia piercing because they don't have any.
Mm.
So, you know, usually if they don't have one, they'll have the other, so we can go there and so on and so forth. So there's never been a woman that hasn't been able to enjoy genital piercing in some way.
And I think that's one of the things that we want the girls to realise is you might have done your bit of research, you've got on the interwebs and you've gone, right, you know, I slept with some woman that had a hood piercing, was a vertical piercing, she got off on it, I thought it was amazing, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lock yourself into one particular type of piercing,
mm-hmm,
but be realistic about the fact that your anatomy might might be that little bit different.
It might be. And it might be that the way that you like your clit stimulated to get off
is different.
Might be different to mm-hmm. hers. You know, the vertical hood piercing really suits women who like direct clitoral stimulation. And when I'm doing this sort of consult with a woman, I will say to them, look, you know, we've just met, we're not going to explore this, but if I'm going to send them home with homework, you know, if they've come in just to have a consult and
exactly.
see what they can
yep.
have, then I'll say, okay, so if you were stimulating yourself with your finger, would you like to stimulate yourself from the top down, so you're pressing through the hood to the clit.
Yep.
Or do you like to come from the bottom up? Yeah.
Yeah, so you're using it
so
more
you're going
exposed.
Straight on the clit.
Yep.
And because that varies a lot. And so if a woman prefers stimulation from the top down, she likes that clitoral hood tissue between her finger and the clit, and therefore a piercing that suits that would be the horizontal hood piercing, because you're going to have the bead, the hood, and then the clit. But if you're a woman who, you know, well, what's the point of doing that? You know, I'm never going to get anywhere
mm-hmm.
and I need things a lot more direct than that, then the vertical's going to be better suited because you've got the ball straight on the clit.
And I think that's the difference is for those ladies that actually aren't lucky enough to be here and have Bella being able to go through this consult with you, is to actually be able to have this consult, to be able to have this open and honest discussion with your piercer, because at the end of the day, ladies, this piercer, whether it be a man or woman, is actually going to have your clitoris or you know, everything in their hands, and they also need to know what's going to best suit you. So then what sort of piercing is going to suit you the best as well?
That's right. You know, I really dislike direct clitoral stimulation.
Mm.
So, and because we're piercing in the genital area, you know, if no matter how something looks, you know, someone might have seen something that just looks really pretty and
yeah.
sparkly
yeah.
and all of that. And, you know, but if that causes pain sexually or discomfort sexually mm. because it's just too much or it's not right for you, then that's our sex lives, girls. You know, like that's big stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not worth it.
Well, that's right. You know, so, of course, then when we start to talk about the two different types of hood piercing you can get, so that's basically in front of the clitoris. You
mm-hmm.
can also do one that actually goes in behind the clitoris, can't you? And
to the big kahuna,
that's
straight
the
up.
Big kahuna, isn't it?
You're talking about the triangle piercing.
The triangle piercing, yeah.
And that is done behind the clitoris itself and gives us quite a unique form of clitoral stimulation, because, of course, we don't usually get rear clitoral stimulation. It's all coming from the front.
Yep.
And so for those girls who are particularly greedy, sandwiching that thing between two pieces of jewelry, you know, you know, that's going to take care of it. But that said, again, we come back to anatomy. Not everybody is suited to that piercing, and it really does need an examination first to determine whether you can in fact have it, because I won't do that piercing on anyone who's not anatomically ideal for it. Because we're going into, as I said before, you know, really important territory here, and I'm never going to be, want to be responsible for taking away the sensation in someone's clit.
No,
you know,
well, that's right.
That'd be bad.
And again, you know, if you you have to really be very, very, very confident in your piercer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, if I was having that sort of piercing done, and I wasn't lucky enough to have you, I would want to know. I would almost want to have letters of recommendation from other women that have been successfully had a clitoral piercing by this piercer about the sensation still there and it's all okay, because again, you're messing around with some pretty sensitive areas that, you know, you can fuck it up,
you know,
really well.
We only get one clit.
That's right.
And it's really, really important. Really important.
And it's not something that you sort of, you know, you want to get messed about. So, again, you know, it's one thing to sort of say, oh, yeah, I went and got my nose pierced down at the local shopping
mm-hmm.
centre.
Mm-hmm.
It's not someone that you want. You want to have somebody that's actually had quite a lot of training and actually quite a decent understanding of the female anatomy and how it actually works, so you can have a proper consultation for
That's
it as well.
That's
now
it.
We're going to have a little bit of, I decided to put on a little bit of Brittany, I think, because it's all about my prerogative. We're going to come back. We're going to keep getting down and dirty, and we're going to care because I just love talking about clitoral piercings. So much fun with Master Bella. You're in the wet spot with Sammy and Bella on Joy 94.9.
More classic dance. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. That's right. It is Moist Mondays. You are in the wet spot with Sammy and Bella tonight. We are getting pierced, all things, and we've finally made it below the waist. And we've been having a really interesting discussion about a few different types of clitoral piercings. And we've still got a few more, but we've had some messages in. We've had a message in from Kristen from Footscray. Says, two awesome voices together. As always, Sammy, I never get tired of yours. Oh, thank you. Love the topic tonight, girls. And look who we have got a message in from KL. Now, KL was on the show with me last week and she was down playing with us. She's a committee member of Vic Leather and an all-round awesome chick. She says, hey, Sammy and Bella. Thank you, Bella, for so knowledgeable about some of the sexy piercings on clits. I'm loving mine.
So glad to hear that, KL.
She said, I've just tuned in. Damn these kids in school holiday late bedtimes. Yeah, probably not suitable for the kids. Yeah, just saying. And we've also just want to shout out to Tony from Footscray, who has just joined up as a joined member. So thank you so much.
Well done, Tony.
Well done. Now, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about a couple of the different types of the hood piercings that you can actually get. Mm-hmm. And we just started to touch on the triangle piercing mm-hmm. and the importance of the difference in that compared to the others. Now, I said to you about, you know, to be careful about who you're actually getting it done because, you know, we were having this discussion a little while ago and I was sort of saying, you know, I'd heard through the grapevine that there are some businesses that operate out at shopping centres that are actually doing genital piercings. Now, my concern would be is quite often it's different getting your ears pierced or your nose pierced, but the one thing that we want the girls to understand is wherever you are and wherever you are getting done is to make sure that it is with an experience and well-trained professional because once you fuck up those nerve bundles, there ain't no getting any back, is there?
That's right. That's right. And I think it's like lots of things in life, you know, paying for experience is, you know, really I've always been confused as to how and why people think that body piercing is different to all the other things that we purchase on a daily basis, you know. Yeah. You get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's right.
And as I say to people, you know, would I expect to be getting paid the same amount today as what I was getting paid 20 years ago? Would you?
No.
You know, if you were still doing the same thing that you were doing 20 years ago, would you expect to be getting paid the same amount of money for that 20 years experience?
Well, that's right. And I suppose the other thing that you look at too is not only is the care that you actually get while you are in the studios and but also the aftercare as well. So mm-hmm. knowing that you have someone that's actually experienced in the aftercare, particularly with genital piercings on how it actually should be looked after, how it should be cared for. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, about, you know, the different types of stimulation to slowly introduce back into where the piercing is. And I suppose mm-hmm. that's one of the things, yes, we know a friend of ours that, yeah, dislodged a piercing that they couldn't help but play with. But anyway.
But, you know, gosh, you're going to want to have an explore and an experiment, aren't you?
I know.
I don't blame her at all.
No, neither do I. Neither do I, absolutely.
But, you know, yes, and getting back to whilst experience is really important, you know, we also need to, I don't know, I'd like to feel comfortable that my piercer is still going to be there tomorrow.
Mm.
And I've been there for very many, many tomorrows.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's an important thing too, as you said, because it's a journey of exploring and maybe sometimes we might go too far and to be able to call up your piercer and say, oh, hey, Bella, it's Sammy, you know, I was with someone last night and this happened and, you know, help, you know, to know that you can do that.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Great.
Oh, I think she just swallowed the ball off the end of my piercing and maybe how should I put it back in
or, you know,
and that's just on my nipple, you know. I suppose that's one of the things is, you know, if you had someone sort of say, oh, you know, things went a little bit too far last night or my piercing came loose and you've had an emergency call, can I turn up there at 2 o'clock, you know, tomorrow afternoon and...
Yeah.
Help.
And you know, and I think being kink and GLBTI friendly.
Exactly.
You know, yes. To be able to have open conversation, I think, about your sex life with your piercer if you are getting genital work done is, I think it's really important.
Well, I suppose especially too with having a piercer that is
I forgot the Q. Okay. God damn.
Oh, well, we say LGBTI, so, I mean, it's Q community, and you can keep adding letters. We're always going to end up insulting someone.
But I try and get it right.
Oh, you got it right. Trust me.
Beautiful.
But the thing for me as well, I suppose, is also being able to have a piercer that understands the kink scene too, and to understand that the different pressures and the different things that your piercings will come across, and understanding about all the different parts of the scene. So depending on what your particular kinks are, you know, you may have certain piercings in certain spots for reasons, and ones that are actually going to need to be a lot hardier than others as well.
Correct.
So I suppose the next sort of the other types of piercings, that what are some of the other types of piercings that the girls can actually get done?
There's a few, but going with what we're on the stream we're talking about right now, the clitoral hood piercing horizontally or vertically usually is not one of the stronger piercings to get done. So that one's
because the hood could actually be quite fragile if it's given too much of a hard workout.
It's not a tough tissue.
Yep.
And so that's the one for stimulation, but not for hanging from the chandeliers with, you know. It's labia is more suited to that, and particularly outer labia is quite strong. And so if we're wanting to do anything sort of more kink-orientated, tying them together, using them to tie off to other points, maybe to, I don't know, eye bolts in the ceiling or whatever, to restrict movement, to be used in bondage, to be even used in chastity. You know, they can be locked together to put her away until you're ready to let her out again, you know. And the other great thing with labia piercing can be weight as well. So having weight hung on those piercings, and that might just be in a play environment, or it might be that you have your tag of ownership hooked on there and she wears that all day, every day underneath her work gear.
I have seen some of those and they look amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And again, you know, we need to plan for that sort of stuff. So again, we come back to the thickness of the jewellery, diameter of the jewellery. One of the things I like to check is, can a partner's finger fit through it? If they want to put their finger through the labia ring and pull on it, then we have to choose diameters accordingly. So,
you know, again, it all comes down to some of the things that we've covered on the shows. Is one of the things is when you're actually going to get a piercing done, especially if it's a clit piercing, you have to be really familiar with your own body. You know, masturbation is the key. You've got to know about the pressures that you want on your clit, so you actually know the type of piercing you want. But also be, again, in an environment with your piercer that you feel confident to be able to talk about why you are getting your piercing done.
What you want to get out of it.
And what you want to get out of it, how you want to get off on it.
Exactly.
And feel confident in that space, because if you can't confidently talk to your piercer about it, that's when things can actually start to go right. And your expectations can't be too high when you actually can't confidently have that discussion, can they?
Well, they can't. And that reminds me too of the fact that this is a conversation that I do have with women regularly as part of the consults that we do is, you know, if you can't come at your own hand, a piercing's not going to make a difference with that. You know, it doesn't come with batteries. It doesn't perform miracles. It will enhance and focus clitoral stimulation to perhaps increase the intensity of orgasm. The time it takes to get there may well be reduced, but it's not going to make it happen if it's not happening anyway without it. You know, the other great thing, we're back to hood piercings again, as I say, because they are the most
popular. They're the most common ones you would do, wouldn't they?
Is that, you know, it's a bit of an X marks the spot sometimes, you know. Girl on girl, it's a bit different. Most of us know where we're going and what we're looking for.
Yeah. Can I just say that, damn, you know, like, when I've got a woman in bed and she's actually got a clip piercing, it's just, yeah, I know where it is anyway, but it's just that much, gives me something else to play with, that much more fun. And that much more to tease with. But again, like you said, I mean, it's not going to be all of a sudden be this magic wand that's all of a sudden going to make your orgasms there when they're not there already, when you don't know how to
do it
yourself.
You need to be able to climax already. And, and it's also not for everyone. You know, if a woman likes really hard stimulation on her clitoral area, a clitoral hood piercing is just going to get in the way and be goddamn annoying.
Mm.
So, you know, and we, you know, briefly mentioned about masturbation. You know, oftentimes when you get new genital work done, you kind of have to renegotiate the territory to figure out what you need to do now to get off.
Well, that's right, because it does actually change the landscape as such a bit, doesn't it? Because you're changing the way that you use pressures, and also too, again, it's that it's about recognizing the sort of pressures that you use now, and again, having that open and honest discussion with your piercer to say, this is the sort of pressure that I like. And also to be able to go away with the knowledge that, you know it's pretty, but you're going to have to leave it alone for so long, or you're going to have to negotiate with your partner about changing the way that you play for a while to make sure things get healed. Because I suppose the other reason why the hoods are so popular is they are sort of one of the quicker healing processes, aren't they?
Really rapid. Yeah. Most women say that within about 7 to 10 days, it's feeling, you know, really good and like it's always been there. Whereas going back to before, you know, something like the triangle, you know, we're looking more like 4 to 6 weeks, but worth it. You know, that's what I mean. It's a bigger decision going for those deeper type piercings. One that we haven't touched on yet was the freshette, which you were asking me about before we went on air.
Yes.
And that one is it's located. It includes the very base of the vaginal opening.
Yep.
And then some of the perineum tissue between the anus and the vaginal opening.
Mm-hmm.
And that one it can be quite a good piercing. It's certainly not common. Personally, it wouldn't work for me. And I think anyone who was regularly into being vaginally fisted, I don't think it would be a good piercing for you to have, you know, unless you're very easily fisted.
Yes, because that's the other thing to actually think of is when you're actually, and I suppose we were talking about the labial piercings earlier, for girls that actually like to have, you know, 3, 4, you know, five or fingers or being fisted, that will also change, the landscape a little bit for that as well, depending on where the rings are.
And that's it, you know, depends on the anatomy of the labia.
Mm.
You know, I tend to place labia piercings reasonably high so that they are away from the vaginal opening.
Yep.
But then some women's labia don't start that high. So these are all the things, you know, that we need to consider. Are they going to be enhancing our sex life or getting in the way?
And again, you know, like we quite often we get piercings done because we first see them or we see a photo of them or some friend, you know, says, oh my God, I just got this done. I can't wait to show you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you take a lovely woman home for the night and you see this piercing, go, oh my God, that is gorgeous. I want one.
Mm-hmm.
It may not work again with your particular anatomy because different women like to be stimulated different ways, whether you like to be stimulated vaginally with as many fingers or hand as possible. Mm-hmm. Again, that particular piercing may not work for you because if you particularly get off on a lot of fingers or a hand, you are then not going, that's going to then interfere with, you know.
Get in the way.
If
that's, you know, what your anatomy is. You know, it's just everyone is so unique and so individual, and their requirements, needs, wants, desires are also unique and individual.
So when we were talking about the labial piercings, when we were talking about healing times, the labial piercings then take that little bit longer to heal. Is that because they're through a thicker fold of skin as well?
Depends on which ones.
Yep.
You know, the outer labia take significantly longer than the inner labia. The inner labia is fast. That's because it's the same kind of tissue as the clitoral hood.
Okay.
You know, so...
Is that a little... That's a little bit more hardier though, isn't it, the inner labial than the clitoral hood?
Yes. Yes. When we're comparing those two, definitely. But then the structure, I guess, of the inner labia varies so much too. For some women, it can be they can be really small and fine, and for other women, they can be quite chunky. If that's a, is that a good word to use in relation to our lady garden?
Yeah,
not? Chunky. All right, so they can fleshy. How about that? That's
fleshy.
A better one.
Ooh, I love fleshy.
Fleshy, you know, spongy, fleshy, thick tissue. So that will influence, you know, the size of jewellery and the weight of the jewellery that we can use in those piercings. Outer labia, generally speaking, are thicker again and stronger because of that. So
of course, when you are thinking about how your piercing is going to affect your kink play and the particular types of kink play that you want to be involved with, the outer labia will actually take a lot more, would be a lot hardier for you to actually be hanging weights off it and using it for different other types of bondage
usually, and if you've got them.
Yeah, well, that's right. Again,
not everyone does, but if they don't have outer labia, then chances are they might have that fleshier inner labia. So, and also whether, you know, you're a bun or a platter, they're the two terms that I like to use when I'm describing
a really interesting
way our differences. You know, are you a bun where you have to, you know, part the labia to actually see what it is that you want to see, or are you a platter where it's all just out there and you just look at it and there it all is, you know, you don't have to move anything to get there. So, and that configuration also determines, you know, what sort of piercings are going to work best and how they're going to heal and all that kind of thing. So yeah, getting back again, experience is really important because there is not one size fits all and one solution for every single woman. It's just
and
not.
Also being able to, you know, like if you're going to say that you wanted to get a genital piercing done, and you know, I know we've said this 100 times, but if you can't confidently go in and talk to your piercer about the type of piercing that you want, the expectations that you have of when that piercing is done, the types of stimulation that you like, if you can't go in and have an eye to eye, face to face conversation with your piercer about that,
without them going red in the face,
we're there. That's right. Well, yeah, and you have to be able to, as the person that's having that expectations of wanting to be pierced, and don't feel bad if you don't feel confident going in visiting a piercer that they are knowledgeable enough, get up and leave.
Absolutely. You know, you always have that choice.
Because
always.
You can rebuild things, but you know, once things like nerve bundles, especially when you're starting to talk about clitoral piercings, you know, it's pretty hard to come back from that, isn't it?
And there's a really big difference between being nervous yourself because you're about to get a piercing done, and everybody is.
Mm.
That's normal. Being nervous because you're having second thoughts about, oh God, does this person actually really know what they're doing? That's a different kind of nerves, and that is definitely get up and get out.
Yes.
Put your pants back on and go home and do some more research.
Yeah. And I suppose there's so much available online. And, you know, if you aren't lucky enough to be in the same state as Bella, you know, I'm sure that you know enough people around town and different states and different areas, even around the world, that people that you know that you've worked with in the past that can have recommendations. And I suppose if you're involved with the kink scene as well in your particular area, to maybe have a few discussions with some of the people that run some of the clubs. I mean, we're lucky here. We've got some really great clubs with Oz Kink Fest with Mistress Mellis and so many great things happening here in Victoria.
Yeah.
There are places like that around the world, really, isn't there?
There are. And, you know, FetLife is a wonderful resource in that regard.
Yeah.
And you can go and just, you know, in the search function's not great, but you can certainly search for a particular state or city. The other... And ask them. You know, ask the locals about their pierces. Mm. The other website that's great internationally is www.safepiercing.org, and that is the website for the Association of Professional Piercers, and that is a really good benchmark for if you are looking for a good piercer in your area. That's a wonderful place to start.
Because, you know, again, it's all about getting recommendations, and don't feel embarrassed about saying to, you know, one of your friends or somebody else within your particular community, mm-hmm. listen, do you know anybody? Because that's the thing, is that I get really, I don't know, I suppose, it's annoyed isn't the word, but a little bit frustrated sometimes with women, is because a lot of women tend not to want to discuss things, but they might quietly sit at home, go, oh, I want to get a nipple piercing, or I wouldn't mind getting a clit piercing, mm-hmm. because, you know, I slept with a girl once who told me it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Ask your girl pals as well, and, sure. and, you know, some of the other women in your community, because, you know, somebody will know somebody that's had something done and be able to have a positive response or a recommendation to somebody mm-hmm. that they've spoken yeah, to.
Definitely.
And I suppose if things do go wrong, then try and, you know, sometimes things do go wrong. If you're not getting the response you need from your piercer.
Find another one.
And I suppose that sometimes things that you may have seen as well is having to sort of, I don't know, sometimes do a little bit of cleanup or do a little bit of counselling with sure. people.
Yeah, definitely. And never be afraid. You know, if you have perhaps made a bad decision on where you got your piercing, who performed your piercing for you, never be afraid to go and see a good piercer to get some advice or some help with what it is that's happened. Don't hesitate to do that with us. We fix up piercings all the time.
And I suppose some of the other things that we see too as well is, you know, sometimes with the piercings that do heal a lot quicker, if you're finding that it's not working for you, you know, you can quite often take it out and start again sometimes.
You can.
If it hasn't been, you yeah. know, with the, like a clitoral yeah. hood or something,
yeah.
could you?
And yeah, absolutely. And, you know, because placement is so important for clitoral hood piercings, you know, sometimes it can be as simple as changing the jewellery.
I was just going to say, you there's know, different
move those
types.
Balls around, get them relocated to a place that's going to be more effective in getting the job done.
So, you know. So that's another thing too, is the different types of jewellery mm-hmm. can make the difference in the sensations.
Very much.
With the clitoral hood piercing,
very much so. Very much. And yeah, I think I'm surprised when women. I had a woman in just the other day, actually, who had a clitoral hood piercing done, and I was showing her the different ball sizes that were available for the ring that we were going to use, and she said, "Well, which one would provide more stimulation?" And I said, "Well, like the bigger one, like there's more surface area there." She goes, "Oh, well, yeah, give me the biggest one I can have." And it's like, well, yeah, that's what I'd be choosing too. But so balls can change, jewellery sizes, styles, all of that can be manipulated. So it's not necessarily that you're going to need a whole new piercing. It could just be a minor tweak that would make all the difference.
Cool bananas. So. Oh, my God, look, we're nearly out of time. Can you believe it?
Oh, no.
I know, right? We're going to have a listen to some quick messages and then we'll be back. So don't go anywhere, ladies. You're on a joy.
If it's tired, boring music you're looking for, you've come to the wrong station. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, you are in the wet spot with Sammy and Master Bella. And unfortunately, we have to be out of here really, really quickly because Nothing Is Sacred is coming up next. Now, we've been talking all things piercing for the girls tonight, and I just want to say thank you so much. My boobs look even better than they did before with my lovely piercing. Thank you for taking such gentle, kind, and very, very stimulating pleasure of them for me. Very nice. I can't wait till the heal's enough so I can play with it some more.
And I hope you enjoy it, Sammy.
I will, so I'll be able to go and get the other one done soon. Now, if anyone needs to know some more about all of the amazing work that you do, you can head down to Piercing HQ. Now, your website is
www.piercinghq.com.au.
And you're only in Hoddle Street in Abbotsford, so it's yep. not all that far away. You can follow them on Facebook as well. Bella is always available for you to call up and have a chat. She is kink friendly. She is JLBTI friendly.
Q.
Her and her beautiful boy, Paulus. So if you've got the boys out there that want to get done and you sort of, you know, the boys want to be played with by a gorgeous boy, you can go down and visit Paulus. I'm sure that she'll let him do that. Now,
always.
Now, if you are interested in getting any piercings done, go in, make sure you get out there and you just have a chat with your piercer. Feel confident in what you're doing. Isn't that the main message that we
Absolutely.
Want people to get across
Absolutely.
Today, don't we?
Yeah, it be a great experience.
It is pretty much an amazing experience. Until next week, ladies, don't forget, stay moist. You are on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.